This is CCFM.
It's time for Insights with Zion Matthew, exclusively on In Season.
Absolutely love the topic as always. Quickly run us through it. What inspired it this morning?
Saki, I've got so many people requesting prayer regarding this particular issue. Repetitive cycles in their lives. They love Jesus. They're fasting. They're praying. Mm-hmm. They're believing the Lord. But something in the spirit realm is withstanding them. And today, I believe that God is going to set many, many people free from these demonic systems that has got us caged. And our topic today is dealing, am I dealing with a demonic altar? Mm-hmm. Am I dealing with something in the realm of the spirit that I cannot see? But it has very, very real implications for us. So everyone, if you go ahead, share this broadcast to our replay viewers. Let's plug into what the Lord is going to say today.
Yeah. And jumping straight into it, what does it mean when someone say, Ukuthi, there's an altar that is warring against them?
In 1 Kings chapter number 13, the man of God prophesies against King Jeroboam, Jeroboam's altar at Bethel. Yeah. The altar was not just a place. It was a system of rebellion erected to fight God's purposes. Mm. And the altar split as a sign that God judged the altar. Now, we got to be able to understand an altar is a spiritual platform where covenants are activated and sacrifices speak, either for you or against you. When an altar is against you, it means that a demonic structure enforcing evil patterns or cycles that is causing these resistance in your lives. And these altars can be erected through sin, through ancestral covenants, idolatry and bloodshed. It is such a thing because an altar speaks by evoking judgments, afflictions, and delays. Every altar has a voice. What's speaking over your life? Divine destiny or divine delay? So when you see things repeating itself over and over and over again, there could very well be a demonic system or an altar that is working against you to sabotage your destiny.
And how do they gain access, Zion? How do these demonic or ancestral altars gain access over one's life to war or to wage war against them?
We must be able to understand in Judges chapter number 6, the Bible speaks about Gideon. Gideon could be used by God to deliver his entire nation. Mm. But he first had to tear down an altar that his father built to Baal. Many, many people, they know that they're anointed. They know that God is with them. But there is something that is in their bloodline or something that has been existing way before they were born that gives legal access to the demonic realm to oppress you. Now, access is often granted through ancestral covenants or sin, unrepented generational sin, blood sacrifices, rituals, and oaths. Now, we got to understand, let me break this down, Saki, because there was a woman that came to me for prayer many years ago, and three times she was set to get married to three different people. Mm. And the first man that she was set to get married, a week before the marriage ceremony was going to happen, this man suddenly dies. The second time, 2 years later, she met somebody else. And one day before they were supposed to get married, this man dies as well. A few years later, she was about to get married to another person, and this person just never showed up on the day of the wedding. And when she came for prayer, I said, this cannot be normal. Mm. There was something demonic that was established in over her life that was warring against her. Yeah. As we began to pray, Saki, as we began to pray, God began to show me that there was an aunt of hers, a step aunt of hers, that when she was a little baby, took a lock of her hair, and we went and offered this thing on a demonic altar. So what was fighting this woman? What was fighting her? There was something in the spirit realm that was warring against her life. And many, many times I heard of another story, a pastor friend of mine that went and took over another church. He went and took over another existing church. The other pastor, mysteriously got a sickness and this pastor passed away and died. My friend, he was in his late 30s, Saki, in his late 30s. All of a sudden, 1 year after taking over this particular church, this man ended off getting the same sickness that this pastor had that took him out. What was happening? This is no coincidence. Yeah. There was a demonic altar that was established against that particular building. Sure. That this pastor now took over. So we have got to be able to look in the spirit, ask God for discernment. Mm. What is happening behind the scenes? Check this out. What was not renounced in your bloodline or in your life may still have a throne in your life. Sure. It's very real, Saki. Very real.
Come on. Share the broadcast. Please tag someone that's popping up in your spirit right now. And maybe let's talk about some symptoms and signs of someone who may be under attack from an evil altar. Talk us through that.
In 2 Samuel 21, the Bible speaks about Israel experiencing severe famine for 3 years. It was later revealed that Saul's bloodline and destroyed the Gibeonites. It was an unresolved issue. It triggered a crisis, and a blood altar was crying for justice. Saul went and killed the Gibeonites, but this was an atrocity that he performed in the realm of the spirit. And as we begin to take many people through deliverance over the last few years, we see that people, the Bible speaks about the blood of Abel, yeah, crying out for from the ground for a recompense, you know. And we see repeated patterns of failure, sickness, delay, especially at the edge of the breakthrough. How many of you came right there to the edge of your breakthrough, supposed to get that job, supposed to get that promotion, supposed to get that house, and boom, something happened in the realm of the spirit and it just got aborted. Cycles of shame and rejection, poverty. You get the job, you get an increase, but money seems to be falling out of your hands where you are never able to have enough. These are a sign that there is a demonic altar that is erected against you. Unexplained resistance to progress despite the effort. You know, I prayed for someone. This person went ahead and got an MBA in business administration. Yeah. Applied for several jobs, Saki, in different parts of the world, were shortlisted, almost got to that point, and all of a sudden, that person wasn't chosen. Now, there was a demonic altar in that bloodline regarding poverty. And when we begin to look in the realm of the spirit and begin to ask questions, her grandfather, listen to this, her grandfather was, you know, he had a business, a shoe factory business, but there was a time where he employed so many people, but he did not end up paying those people, and he shut the business down, filed for liquidation. But in the spirit, that atrocity was still being held against the bloodline. So a demonic altar was created. No matter what this girl did, 3 generations later, she could not get that breakthrough. Then when you begin to dream of altars or blood sacrifice or you know, your ancestors, can be signs of demonic activity, and these things are real. And we have got to be able to look at it. You know what? This is not the day where we just say, oh, God, bless them. Oh, God, just heal them. We have got to go to the root, because many people try to deal with the fruit, but the root still remains. And these things show up in another generation.
Sure. And speaking about the root, how do we then begin to identify the origin or the root of, you know, someone, rather an altar that is fighting against one? And you mentioned something about, you know, a distant aunt who had, you know, rose against that particular person. How is it, family based only, or can it be extended to any associate that is, or anyone?
Okay, so in John chapter number 9, Jesus heals this man that was born blind from birth.
Yeah.
His disciples asked the question, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? A reflection of how spiritual consequences can span through generations. Because it was a very important question to us. Is this running in the bloodline, or was it something that is happening to him? Okay? So not all altars are family-based. Some are regionally based. I remember moving into a church building myself in the city of Durban some time ago. And there was a demonic altar in that entire region that fought every prophet that ever came to that region. It fought us, Saki, it fought us for 2 years. In a matter of 6 months, we had 2 major floodings. In a matter of 1 year, we had a massive fire. You know, it was crazy. Why? Because that altar over that region, yeah, was fighting the move of God. And I've seen it over and over again. So it's not only familiar altars. Patterns in families also reveal generational altars. You know, example, divorce, barrenness, addiction. Prophetic insight and deliverance ministry can help discern. discern. This is why we need to be able to discern what is the root of these things. And then we also can look at spiritual mapping, prayerful investigation into the bloodline history, looking at the region. We just moved into a region now in Cape Town, and the first thing that I did, I had to find out what is the thing that is operating in that region. And I had to go and see, is there altars? There are some racial altars, Saki, and I know many people don't like to step on this topic, but there are some racial altars that will never allow people of color to succeed in any particular reason. And we have got to go and dethrone those things. Check this out. You can't just pray against an altar. You must replace it with a superior altar.
You must replace it. There's a quote, an English proverb that says, when power meets power, the lesser has to retreat and to surrender.
Come on. Absolutely. We see that in the Bible when the Ark of the Covenant was taken into Dagon's temple. Something had to fall and it wasn't going to be the Ark of the Presence. Dagon fell. A lesser altar was destroyed because a greater superior altar came into that jurisdiction. And I'm telling you what, we're coming in with a level of glory and a level of anointing right now to every one of you that are watching this and listening to this broadcast all over the world. You must raise an altar. It must be erected in your bloodline. Saki, when my mama died, even if we don't go to the next question, it's okay. I need to tell these people this. When my mama died, my mama represented a bloodline breaker in our generation. She was the first to break through, false religion, all of those things and bloodline curses. And God said to me, Zion, you now need to rise as that bloodline breaker, as a superior altar for generations to come. And you might be listening to me right now around the world, but I want to tell you, it's time for you to rise. The Bible says in the book of Judges, chapter number 4, village life ceased until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Zion. She was a mother, but she was a bloodline breaker. You might be a father, but God can raise you up to be a bloodline breaker. It's time to raise the altar.
Come on. And let's get into strategies and weapons, spiritual weapons that we could use to confront and to overthrow these altars that are fighting against us. Talk us through that.
In Genesis chapter number 12, Abraham builds an altar to the Lord at Shechem. And again, he built another one at Bethel. Every altar has marked a territory and a covenant. Godly altars shape generations. Number one, a godly altar is raised to praise and worship. We have got, this is why at our churches, we cannot just settle for just singing two fast songs and three slow songs. We have got to engage the realms of glory through praise and worship, because when worship goes on, that's your sacrifice on the altar. It begins to plow through demonic systems and demonic strongholds. Now, we got to also understand sacrificial giving. God also allows us at some time, only a seed can break a cycle. A woman goes through a cycle for 9 months, for every 28 days, But when she is pregnant with a seed, the cycle is broken for that period of 9 months that she's pregnant. So a seed can break a cycle. And then constant devotion, staying in prayer, staying in the spirit. Listen, I say it like the Saki. It ran in my family until it ran into me. It ran in my family until it ran into me. So we have got to constantly stay in worship, stay in prayer, stay in intercession, stay in the word. Number two, an altar, it becomes a place of meeting, covenant renewal, and spiritual transaction with God. Now, you got to understand, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. So we have got to stay in a constant place of communion with God. Then raising a godly altar can be done in your home, in your family, or even in your business. Saki, when we first came to Cape Town a year ago, we didn't just go set up and start a church. We raised a godly altar. We raised an altar in the city. So that means we begin to do the first things first. And many people, people don't get divorced first. Your altar is destroyed first, and then the divorce comes. People don't get sick first. The altar is destroyed in your family first, then sickness comes. People don't lose money first. The altar is destroyed first, and then poverty comes. We have got to raise the altar, and you got to keep the altar active through prayer, thanksgiving, and obedience. Last word here, Saki. The altar you build today becomes the throne that God sits on tomorrow.
Hey, come on. Woo! Listen, if you missed this one, I do encourage that you go back and listen to this one. It is powerful. You need to watch this. And in closing, Zion, how does one do just that? How do we raise an altar, a godly one that is, so that we can silence the voice of a demonic altar?
We have got to be intentional in this, in our families. We have abandoned prayer in our homes. We have outsourced prayer to churches. You know, people cry for prayer being brought back to school. I've got nothing to say about that. But if you do not have prayer in a home, it doesn't matter what you do at school. Or it doesn't matter what you do in church. We have got to raise the altar of prayer. Allow the atmosphere in your home to become conducive. Mothers, fathers, become the high priest in your home. Begin to lift up your families. Lift up your bloodlines, things that are warring against you. Then number two, get into a good spirit-filled church that begins to teach on these things. We have got to intentionally see if these things are repeating itself. And we've got to say, God, there is an altar that's fighting me. And the only way I can raise a superior altar is through prayer, fasting, intercession. Saki, in my life, every single week, I set aside one day of the week to fast. Why? Because I'm keeping my altar raised.
Come on. Sure. I think that's also a topic for another day, how to maintain that altar, you know, to cultivate it. But for today, you know, and those who are wondering, what's coming up from your end this coming week? Weekend.
Saki, tomorrow we are starting our Raising the Altar conference here in Cape Town. It's going to be 3 days. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Is a free pastors and leaders breakfast. We've got guests from all over the world coming in, leaders, apostles, prophets. Yeah. It's going to be powerful. We're going to be teaching pastors about raising altars in their churches, raising altars in their communities. Friday night, 7 p.m., it's going to be prophetic apostolic impartation. Saturday morning, ladies, listen, mothers must arise.
Yeah.
Mothers, women must arise. We're calling it Raising the Altar for Women. It's going to happen at 9 a.m. Saturday night, 6 p.m. and Sunday night at 5 p.m. Where is it happening? At Awake the Nations, 31 Kimberley Street in Goodwood. It's absolutely free. Cape Town, make your way there by the numbers, and let's raise the altar together, for not just for your family, but for our city and for our nation. Saki, again, it's been a phenomenal thing. I feel the power of God all over me, and I release that upon our people. Thank you again for having us, and thank you for CCFM hosting In Season with Zion Matthew. See you next week.
Thank you so much. And yes, you heard it right. You will catch Zion and myself next week, same time, same place, right here on 107.5. Thank you so much, Zion. And of course, if you missed it, you can find it on YouTube, on also our Facebook page. It will be uploaded on those social media platforms. Please, whoever that comes to your mind, to your spirit, as you will be rewatching this particular powerful segment of Insights with Zion, tag them. They most definitely need to hear that particular message.